Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for Saturday, October the 19th. That's right, Saturday, October the 19th, in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, as our guide. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Normally on Saturdays, we do a recap of the previous week. We just don't have time for that. And we haven't had time for the last several weeks for that. I don't know what to do about that. You're just going to have to go to the LibertyRoundtable.com website, check out the show notes to read the previous several days, and listen to the broadcasts that you can, because we're just so swamped, so busy, so much going on that it's hard to get to it all. Now, I start out a little bit struggling today, and I want to explain why so people kind of understand. I run the talk show. First off, I run my mouth, right? I'm the one that talks on the radio. I'm the one that's the talk show host. Even when we have a lot of guests on the roundtable, I'm the one that plays traffic cop and takes us in and out of the breaks and, you know, poses a lot of the questions and passes the commentary to different participants. I do a lot there, just from commentary point of view, a participant. I'm an on-air talent, so to speak. All right, so that's one thing that I do. Now, most talk show hosts, that's what they do. Now, behind the scenes, they're looking up news stories, or they're, reviewing the story they're going to talk about next. They're kind of, on the breaks, taking time to get all that ready, to get their next, discussion points ready. They talk to their guests on the breaks. They line up the story and get things ready to go. I do that, too. But in addition, I've got a bunch of other tasks, and I don't know how many people realize that. Most radio talk shows have a producer, and the producer's job is to put the guests on the air, to put callers on the air. If somebody's dropped, then they get them back. If the music needs to fade up and fade down, the host needs to be told when they're on the air versus when they've been clear or taken off the air. And so normally there's a producer, a second person that does all that. Well, I do that while I talk, while I coordinate the guests, while I pose the questions, while I review stories and prep them for the next segment and the next story and all that kind of stuff. I run the board. I produce the show at the same time I talk on the radio. And oftentimes, Kirk Crosby, my co-host, or a guest will be talking. I'll be behind the scenes taking show notes. That's usually something that the producer, or oftentimes even a third-party person, does that will just listen and take show notes. But I take the show notes, I prep the stories, I talk on the air, I play traffic cop for everybody, I play producer, I bring everybody in and out of the breaks. When one of my guests or my co-hosts are talking, I then quickly grab a guest, or on the breaks, I grab a guest, or if a call's dropped, I get them back. So I do the producer task, the on-air talent task. There's other people involved in radio broadcasting as well that you need to be aware of. There's usually a technical engineer somewhere lurking around. You don't know about them, but they do a phenomenal job. And that person's job is to make sure that the computers are all running excellent, to make sure that, the sound is going out over the air, the sound's good, that all these things are happening, right? And so the engineer takes care of all the technical details. So now you've got the on-air talent, the host, you've got the producer, you've got the engineer. Okay, and I play that role too. Okay? So when I start out on the radio sometimes and I'm like stuttering or not delivering the content, it's because I've got other tasks that 9 times out of 10, when they're running perfectly, don't distract me. I'm able to switch gears very quickly from one task to another. But once in a while, if an engineering issue is off, I've got to work on some technical issues, then I'm distracted a little bit. Or if calls drop, then I need a co-host or a guest to talk, because I can't talk on the radio and dial the phone and talk to a guest and say you're ready to go on the air and make sure it's all good. I can't do all that at the same time. Now, if I had multiple mouths, and if it could be silent, one mouth could be silent while the other's on the air, and how do you do all that, right? So I bring that up not to tell you how failing I am sometimes at all these different tasks, but to highlight sometimes when things don't sound as smooth on the air as they could, you'll know why. It's because, you know what? Sam's got his hands full behind the scenes. Behind the scenes, it's probably chaos. Sam's going, I got an engineering problem. A call's been dropped. I got to jump into the producer role and get the call back. I got to jump into the engineer seat and get something technically solved. I got to stay on the air and provide rapid fire commentary. I got to, you know, think through the commentary that we're delivering to make sure that it really is intelligent. I mean, it can't just be a bunch of babble. It's got to be informed. It's got to be well-researched. It's got to have all those components to it, right? It's got to be articulate. It's got to be well thought out. If you have guests or co-hosts, you got to pass the ball around effectively. You know, I think of basketball, and you bring it, you know, into the backcourt. You're ready to go. You cross the line. You get into your game. You spread out on the floor. You start passing the ball around, looking for an open shot. It's kind of like that a lot, right? Well, anyway, I digress, except I'm trying to get across to all of you how inexpensive it is for us to run radio compared to most broadcasts. If you go listen to a National Public Radio broadcast or a Fox presentation or a CNN, they got probably, you know, anywhere from 3 to 20 people, 30 people sometimes, working on some of their radio shows, TV shows, podcasts, whatever they are. You know who you've got doing this show right now? You've got Sam Bushman, that's it. From engineer to producer to talk show host, all rolled into me. And so sometimes when things are a little rough, that's why. Because it's like, I'm capable of doing each task very well, singularly. And believe it or not, most of the time on the radio, I'm able to play those tasks well, all of them, to where you don't even realize there's only one guy doing it all. But once in a while, if things overlap or if things don't work out well, then it becomes evident in a hurry. And the more things fall apart, the worse it gets. Right? So if I lose a caller and the internet goes down, so now I've got a producer problem and a technical problem. I got to play those engineer roles and the producer role, and I got to stay on the air and deliver there too, right? And so that's when it gets the hardest, when all three roles are required, producer, talk show host, and engineer. When all three roles are needed simultaneously, and I don't mean preemptive multitasking. I can handle that. You know what? One thing needs attention, so I give it attention. The next thing needs attention, so I give it attention. Kind of go in a circle and focus on what tasks need to be focused on. I do that quite well, actually. But it's when all those tasks demand immediate real-time attention now. There is no preemptive multitasking about it. They all need to preempt simultaneously. That's when it gets impossible. Not because I'm not even capable of handling it. It's because I've only got one mouth. How do I talk to a guest or a caller off the air while I'm on the air, right? How do I work on an engineering problem and resolve that while I'm supposed to be focusing on the next news story? So anyway, I only tell you all this because I want you to understand behind the scenes what it's like for some of us, very creative, very savvy, but all at the same time, very, what word do I want to call it? Shoestring type operations. We run our network very, very inexpensively. We produce a tremendous amount of talk radio. I mean, I at Liberty News Radio produce 18 hours of live radio a week. I could produce more too, but I got a day job. I got 8 children. I got 4 grandchildren. You know, there's a lot going on in my world, right? But then I work with the Loving Liberty Radio Network very closely, and they produce several hours of live talk radio as well. Between the two of us, it's tremendous, the output that we have. But again, we do it on very, very little funding. And I'm grateful for the funding that we do have, and I'm grateful for the ability to do this inexpensively, because that's what keeps us on the air day in and day out. When the big networks don't receive all the funding they need, they literally melt down and cave and merge or simply shut doors, circle the drain, whatever you want to call it. We're not doing those things because we don't have that tremendous overhead. The engineering doesn't cost me money. Sometimes it costs me a little bit in equipment, and sometimes that equipment's very expensive, but I do it all myself. I get very limited help, and I'm grateful for the help that I get, and I'm not diminishing the value of the limited help that I receive from other folks to help run the network. I don't mean to diminish them in any way, but what I'm getting across is there's just not much of it. It's very limited in scope. Okay, we run this network on less than a full-time person. Really. Kurt Crosby, my co-host, puts in some time looking for news stories and, of course, the on-air time. He travels with me on occasion. I do the engineering, the producing of the talk show. And for my shows, 12 hours a week live on the air, right? Well, I'm not asking for you guys to do anything about it or to have sympathy for me or anything like that. The only reason I'm telling it to you is because I want you to know what it's like behind the scenes. Most people in the news business don't let you know anything about their personal life, not counting their on-air perfect presence. You know nothing about them. Okay, I don't like that. I don't believe in that. I'm not here to be a rock star or be larger than life or any of those things. I am here because I believe in the importance of the news the networks refuse to use worth sharing. I am here because I believe the education of the founding fathers is relevant today and is vitally important for us to carry forward their legacy, their traditions. Okay, I'm here because God, family, and country matter. And I believe the protection of life, liberty, and property to be essential. And I believe that we, the people, can get together and educate. And I'm not telling you I know everything about the Constitution or about any of these things. But I do say that I study hard and I try to be savvy. And I try to truly put things in context of the culture war, in context of our founding fathers and the supreme law of the land. And I do my very best to educate and to entertain. Educate first, entertain second. I hope it's a little fun. But anyway, I bring all this to you so you know who I am and what I do and why I do it. Because I believe you're part of me and my family. A broad radio listening family. And I believe we can work together to restore the republic. Hang tight.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
All right, Sam Bushman on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. So anyway, I don't tell you all these things for any other reason than to let you know how hard we work. And we want you to know that because we need your help. We need your financial help, your listener support, and more. A lot of good listeners bring news to our attention. That's wonderful. Bring topics and guests for us to interview. Wonderful. And so we're grateful for all your work out there. But I think of you as my large radio family around the world. And we have a common interest. That is the desire to promote God, family, and country. The desire to protect life, liberty, and property. The understanding of how important it is to make sure that the mainstream press is not a gatekeeper scenario. That we, the people, can participate. That we can stand up for the things that we hold dear. And I hope we're united in that quest. Whether we agree or disagree on every or any point mattereth not. What matters is that we realize the importance of saying, you know what, Sam, your voice matters and my voice matters too. And hey, that's America. The First Amendment. The freedom to worship how we choose, regardless of our differences in thoughts or beliefs. Our ability to exercise our free speech and weigh in on topics. That's the genius of America, if you will. Anyway, I want you to understand, I tell you all the details behind the scenes so you know how hard we work. And then to say, you know what, if you can donate and help our cause, every penny will help our cause. Help us grow our presence in the media, tell the tale of liberty, take on the new media, take on the mainstream press like never before with the new media taking center stage. These are the things that we do. And it takes a lot of hard work, and I appreciate your support financially and otherwise. Donate today at libertyroundtable.com if you can, because I'm telling you, I have a day job. I'm not begging for your money to support my family. I want to work with my own two hands. And I do radio primarily because I believe in it, because I believe it matters. And I want you to understand that every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media. We will hire, we'll use it to buy upgraded equipment. We'll use it to hire more staff so that maybe I can, you know, someday have an engineer that can take care of those tasks while I'm on the air, or a producer that can take care of a lot of those tasks while I'm on the air. It would really, you know, deliver a much upgraded presentation. Same thing with station imaging. I don't know if you know what that is, but you know all the sounders and the blurbs and the lips and the lasers and the blip, whatever, and the transitions and all those cool sounding things that a lot of radio groups have. We have the knowledge to produce that kind of stuff. What we don't have is the money and the time. Okay, you got to buy expensive music and sound effect libraries. You've either got to pay for those libraries monthly, or you've got to pay for buyout ones that cost a chunk of change. Then you've got to have somebody put that time into the production that it takes. We have very simple production on our network, not because we're not capable of keeping up with the best of them, but because, again, we don't have the funds and the resources, the time, the money to put all that stuff together. Okay, those are things we could do if we had funding and would love to do that. The professionality would increase tremendously with all these things that I'm discussing, right? But again, it's a matter of, you know what, what's more important, the, awesome sweepers and awesome station imaging, or delivering our message. And so we try to develop this balance of how do we deliver the incredible message necessary in the culture war, and in the battle for the sacred cause of liberty we're engaged in. But yet, you know what? Do it on a shoestring and not spend too much money on some of that other stuff. That's what we try to achieve. And we'll always do that with your funding. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today. Anyway, a long dissertation on that. And I know a lot of our listeners that listen all the time have heard me say this, or, you know, deliver this narrative in a variety of ways over the years. But I want to keep reminding people, because I think if you don't get reminded, I think a lot of times people believe we're a bigger operation than we are. We are in terms of our reach. We are in terms of our influence. There's no question about it. How do I know that? Well, I'll give you an example. I was one of the top 250 talkers in the nation. Talkers Magazine delivered that in 2010. Literally 9 years ago, they were saying that. Okay, we've been in the media for more than 25 years. Another example to that is, you know, we were live at the Republican National Convention. We were literally in Cleveland, Ohio, live in that convention. It took incredible press credentials to get there. You had to walk through several blocks of barricades and barriers and multi-leveled security to get into the event. You had to have credentials to be there. We have all that. We're there. And we were literally sitting across from MSNBC and Skype, from Microsoft, and CNN and Fox. Everybody was there, including us. The Daily Caller, the Daily Beast, I mean, all the big wigs, the Washington Post, everybody was there, including us. And literally CNN was bringing us water, and they provided the food for the event. So believe it or not, CNN was bringing us food while we were there. I literally got the opportunity to walk up to the CNN staff while their booth was empty and say, hey, can I go sit in your booth? And I have a photo of me sitting in the CNN booth like one of their newscasters. And the CNN guys are sitting outside the glass watching me, and I'm sitting at their news desk. That was a lot of fun. Now, I'm not downing CNN in that discussion as much as I'm just saying we were there with the best of them. That took a lot of money. Believe it or not, that trip took us about $6,000 or $7,000 to make happen. You say, what on earth? That's a lot of money. You're right. It is a lot of money. But look, you had to get Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby fly in from Utah. Right? you've got to basically fly us both in. You know, even if you're careful on your costs, when you go to a convention like that, there's plane tickets go up because they know full well, even if you get them in advance, let's just say plane tickets for Sam and Kurt are $800. Then we drove a couple of other people in, $200 or $300 for their gas. You know, they came from Tennessee and Florida and different places to join us in Cleveland, Ohio. Okay, so you got to put all that together. You know, that's probably $1,500 just in getting there and leaving. Then hotels there are very expensive. You got to have that. Then you got to have fees to get into the event. Then you got to have Uber drivers or rent a car. Then you got to, and I go on, and I'm just saying, hey, just to get a table in the middle of that Radio Row venue cost a couple of $1,000s. Anyway, you put it all together, the trip was probably $6,000 just to go. But you know what? We raised the money from our listeners and some great behind-the-scenes supporters, and we went, and we had a great time. And it was, okay, so that's the kind of stuff we have the ability and the professionality to do, but it all takes funding. I bring that up to let you know we've been in some of the most important places, so our influence is big. On one hand, the mainstream press tries to act like we're nobody. Oh, they're just a little shoestring podcast. They don't matter. But what they forget to mention is we're on AM and FM, terrestrial radio station affiliates. They forget to mention we're on the Roku channel. We're on Google Play. We're on iTunes. We're on TuneIn. You know, we're on a lot of these large services, Google Play, many others. We're on the, I don't want to say her name, but she's a digital assistant, kind of like the Google assistant, but her name starts with an A. She'll go off if I say Alexa. See, now she's listening. What time is it? Oh, she didn't respond. Okay, good. Anyway, sometimes she responds when you don't want her to. Anyway, I bring it up to say we're on all those devices. We're digitally around the world, live and on demand, via all kinds of media players. And so our reach is bigger than they want to admit. Well, they attack us. I mean, even what CNN tried to attack us and through the Trump administration when he was running for office, I should say the Trump campaign. And they literally at first kind of started to attack us. We basically pushed back hard. And then they came back and said, you know what? It's a very well-known patriotic talk show. Okay, the Daily Beast sits down with me at the Republican National Convention. And has a great discussion. They even agreed to come back. They liked it so much. They were delighted. And then later they're like, oh, man, you know, we don't dare touch these guys with a 10-foot pole. On Super Tuesday, Donald Trump Jr. decides to come on Liberty Roundtable Live. He knows where to go for coverage. See? Now, I'm not telling you how awesome we are either. I'm trying to give you guys the understanding of, hey, we might have a very shoestring operation. Hey, Steve Jobs started out of his garage. Don't knock it, baby. Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs started out of their garage for Apple, right? So, you know. But I bring this up to say our reach is big. Our influence matters. We're going to keep doing it, and we need your financial help to do so. All right. Anyway, enough of that. But from time to time, I really like to double down on that and highlight that for new listeners and for people who don't know and for those who do know to make sure that I remind, hey, we are back here. We have financial needs. This is very expensive radio. Even if you do it all yourself, even if you're a, quote, one-man band, radio is tremendously expensive from the equipment to the time that it takes to do. And so your help is greatly appreciated. LibertyRoundtable.com. All right, a quick recap of yesterday's show, and then we'll dig into the news for the rest of the time on the show today. We talked about the G7 summit will be held in June 2020, it'll be at the Trump National, what is it called, Doral in Miami. And the mainstream press is going ballistic over this. They're like, oh my gosh, conflict of interest for the Donald. How dare he hold it at his hotel? I want to remind you, Donald doesn't even take a salary for being president. And he doesn't make money when the event go to his hotels either. Now you can say name brand. He gets name brand recognition. I don't think Donald needs help with name branding. Do you? Just saying. The liberals are going berserk, but for no reason.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Claiming new progress against Islamic State extremists in Syria, President Trump said some European nations are now willing to take on detained Islamic State fighters. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
We're hopeful that every country that has persons detained in these camps will accept those back into their country. Not just European countries, there are many, many countries around the world who have had people leave their country and go to fight alongside ISIS in their campaign in Syria.
The president pushed back at criticism that his Syria moves were damaging U.S. credibility. He touted the U.S. brokered ceasefire agreement as Kurdish troops claimed the combat has not yet been halted.
We are in a very strong position. We are also in a position where we could put tremendous, powerful sanctions on Turkey or whoever else we want to.
This is USA Radio News.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
People are battening down the hatches this weekend on the Florida Panhandle as Tropical Storm Nestor grows near. The storm surge is covering some streets in Apalachicola and along the Florida North Coast. It's expected to impact communities still dealing with the devastation from Hurricane Michael 1 year ago. WECP-TV's Gail Leedy.
The sheriff and emergency operations management are taking all of the necessary precautions.
We issued a mandatory evacuation for all the campgrounds because of the tropical storm force winds.
For citizens who live along the coastline, barrier islands, and other low-lying areas, emergency management officials are strongly encouraging people to seek higher ground. Emergency officials also tell us when the winds are sustained at 45 miles per hour, the bridges will close.
I mean, we're in a good chance of getting some of those winds.
All beaches are also closed, and double red flags are flying.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, we're in the middle of our recap of yesterday's broadcast, highlighting the news that we focused on for 2 hours yesterday. The broadcast is available at libertyroundtable.com, on demand and on download right now. But we talked about baby body parts. Testimony brings jury to tears. Let me say that again. Baby body part testimony brings jury to tears. The jury saw the video for the first time, and it was a game changer for the jury. Planned Parenthood, believe it or not, uses partial birth abortions to sell body parts, and the jury was shocked. Planned Parenthood and the judge in California have tried to prevent the jury from seeing the undercover videos taken of Planned Parenthood and their literal selling of body parts and promoting the sale. Planned Parenthood got caught lying under oath, ladies and gentlemen, in this case. All right, this is serious business. And we talked about this because the jury didn't realize how it was. I mean, one female executive at Planned Parenthood was dickering over, pardon that term, but, you know, bargaining over baby body parts. You know, the spleen, the liver, right, the lungs. And they literally were talking about how they preserve them. You know, they crush above and below and do different things to kill the baby, murder the child, but yet keep the parts ready for, quote, harvesting and for sale, right? Anyway, so they were talking about this, and it was captured on video because it was recorded at a fancy restaurant in California. And so the you know, Planned Parenthood people are saying you're not allowed to tape that stuff. And the undercover folks are saying, you know what? We took it in a public place where we have every right of people to possibly overhear and everything else. What do you mean we can't tape it? So the debate rages on in courts. Matthew Staver and others, our good friend at Liberty Counsel behind the scenes in court daily on this. It's one of the most expensive court cases they have ever had, by the way, because Planned Parenthood has big, deep pockets, right? Anyway, I'm saying, though, that it's important to understand the jury is getting the truth and they're freaking out. I mean, they're just sickened by this one lady basically at this high level restaurant saying, hey, we can't go too low on these body parts because I need a Lamborghini. It was maybe a joke by her, but nevertheless, it articulates these people don't take the life of a baby seriously at all. And that's really kind of the understanding. But the court is working on this, and I hope for success for the pro-life movement. I pray for Sandra Merritt. Who is Sandra Merritt? You ask, a 66-year-old grandmother that literally wanted to take on this pro-death, pro-murder agenda and expose them for who they really are. And she's doing a phenomenal job, but Planned Parenthood is going berserk. And the dishonesty and the abuse that has been heaped on poor Sandra is just amazing. Anyway, we'll keep up on that case for you as it unfolds. It's going on in the courts right now. And anyway, we talked about that quite a bit because the jury did get to see the video and they are incensed about what they're seeing. They are shocked. So we'll see what happens in that case. Speaking of undercover videos, not only are Sandra Merritt and those guys doing that, but so is our buddies at Veritas. Okay, James O'Keefe over at the Veritas Project doing a phenomenal job, and he's been releasing some undercover video lately, too. So Mike Brevna, that guy's a floor manager over at CNN. He said, quote, on this undercover video that got released, he said, quote, when I got this job 13 years ago, CNN was nothing like this. They've sold themselves to the devil, said Mike Brevna. Now, the interesting thing about this is he's just saying CNN used to be a straight down the the line news organization. And they might have had a liberal focus on the stories, but they were news. Now they've basically turned in away from the news and become basically an anti-Trump, pro-socialism propaganda machine. It isn't about the news for them anymore. It's about the positioning of commentary and the, right? Anyway, there's another undercover video that got released in addition to Mike Brevna over at CNN speaking out, saying they've sold themselves to the devil over at CNN. But a new undercover video shows another CNN supervisor talking about Donald Trump, the main story. And the supervisor basically says, hey, I hope Trump dies soon. We got to get rid of him for this story to go away. I mean, imagine saying that kind of stuff. But Project Veritas even released audio of CNN's president, Jeff Zucker, saying on his daily call to employees, let's just stay focused on impeachment. So they're doubling down on the impeachment narrative. But Nancy Pelosi says there will not be a formal vote launched on impeachment. Why won't there be a formal vote launched on impeachment, you ask? I'll tell you why. Because they know they don't have enough for impeachment. That's why. They know they don't have enough on impeachment, okay? And they know it. And so for CNN to continue to literally promote the impeachment narrative when they know full well they don't have the votes and articles of impeachment are not being drawn up, well, that's a problem. Well, let me tell you why they're not. So now I'm taking yesterday's news and merging it to today's updated details, right? An impeachment trial of President Donald Trump could keep Democratic presidential candidates who are also senators, off the campaign trail for weeks. That's why they're not going to do it. What they want to do, ladies and gentlemen, and they're struggling to get this done, what they want to do is attack President Trump, make you believe impeachment has justification all over it when we know that it doesn't. Okay? And so the reason that they won't really push for impeachment is because these senators would literally have to be off the campaign trail for weeks if they did that. All right. We're talking about a lot of them here, right? New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, Colorado Senator Michael Bennett, California Senator Kamala Harris, Minnesota Senator Amy, however you say her name, Klobuchar, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, and Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. All of them, by the way, would be required, listen, to stay in Washington, D.C. during an impeachment trial. That's according to BuzzFeed News. Senate rules, by the way, require senators to be present in session Monday through Saturday during an impeachment trial. Believe it or not, for example, former President Bill Clinton's impeachment trial took several weeks. And a lot of these senators are saying, we don't know that we could continue campaigning if an impeachment trial takes place. We'll have to see. But we have an obligation here as senators, and we've got to make sure we do it properly. It would be disruptive, to say the least. New York Senator, oh boy, Mitt Romney said that that would be just problematic and disruptive. So, believe it or not, they're not about to impeach because they'd be required. Well, they'd be kind of limited for what they could say if they were on the impeachment crew, right? They might be able to talk about the proceedings vaguely in TV appearances, but that's about it. Now, the senators might change the proceedings, but it would require kind of a unanimous consent from Republicans and Democrats to get that done. Republicans could also use what they call the nuclear option, which is a misnomer in and of itself, to change the rules. Now, do you think the Republicans care how long it'll take the Democrats off the campaign trail? No. But the impeachment trial, ladies and gentlemen, will be a huge, huge burden to senators on the campaign trail. Okay, none of these senators, by the way, were willing to talk about this with the Daily Caller, who did some of this research. Anyway, I bring this all up because I'm convinced that impeachment is a farce, and they know it. And so even Nancy Pelosi basically said there's not going to be an impeachment trial and proceeding. They don't even have proof of articles of impeachment. All they have is hearsay circumstantial stuff right now. We've got more than that on Joe Biden, but the media won't talk about it, right? Anyway, I digress. I'm just, wow. Anyway, there's an update for you. By the way, USA Today is going to be phasing out its print edition, according to Art Moore at WND. USA Today getting rid of their print edition. That must mean the new media is taking a, or the old media, the old guard's taking a beating from the new media, huh? Venezuelan lawmaker dares Bernie Sanders to try socialism without his bodyguards. I brought that up to Richard Mack, who was with us yesterday, and he goes, yeah, I'd like to see a lot of these, folks running for office do so without the big war chests they have. Good point. By the way, no joke, ladies and gentlemen. Venezuela got elected to the UN Human Rights Council. Did you see that? Of all countries, Venezuela? Yeah. By the way, Congress is the worst place for the death of Representative Elijah Cummings, a Democrat who was actually quite a great guy.
Dave, I'm 7 years old. I'm sitting here in the corner having a time out until Mom comes to talk to me. All I did was cut my sister's hair. I was just trying to help. I guess Mom didn't like how I did it. In a minute, she'll be back and ask me if I know what I did was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have cut her hair. And she'll say we all make mistakes because we're just learning about stuff. And she'll give me a hug and we'll end up talking about more stuff.
No matter what you talk to your kids about, love is what they'll hear.
I really like Mom's timeouts, and I think she likes them too. Yeah, I think they help her remember how much she loves me.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
I have a a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
All right, so I submit to you, the Democrats are not really planning to impeach the Donald. They claim they are, but they're really not. Folks, it's a big lie. Okay? And Congress is the worst place for the death of Representative Elijah Cummings, right? Becca Adams doing a great job. But I bring that up because there were some honest Democrats. There are some honest Democrats. There are some honest Republicans, but they're far and few between. We had Richard Mack on with us yesterday, and we talked about this in detail, that it's not a Republican-Democrat battle, okay? Donald Trump tweeted, Democrats are now the party of high taxes, high crime, open borders, late-term abortion, socialism, and blatant corruption. He's right about that, but then he's wrong about this. He says Republicans are the party. That's the party of the American worker, the American family, and the American dream. Well, I disagree. I say the swamp, the insiders, if you will, they're all like what Donald's claiming the Democrats are. Democrats and Republicans are both like that. The good people, the factions in the Republican and Democratic Party, and I don't think you can really team them up as a group. You could say individuals. There's a lot of good people. But I'll prove to you the highlight of why I say the Republicans and Democrats, the inside swamp monsters, are bad, and the rest of us can be good guys even if we disagree. Twitter keeps Donald Trump's account open as his tweets draw fire. Twitter said that it would continue to be lenient with world leaders who appear to violate its policies against violent speech. Why? Well, Twitter says the company believes preserving those tweets is in the public interest. So those tweets serve the public interest. The problem with that all is that makes two classes of people, us and them. If I make a statement, then they're going to attack me, right? Well, I think impeachment is a farce. And I think that what they're trying to do is Republican senators, many of them are preparing to stab Donald Trump in the back on impeachment, folks. I really do. Okay, there are 15 Republicans that we got to watch in detail who I believe are literally, what do you want to say, planning on impeachment? Okay, so that's why I say, you know, you get 15 senators. That's a significant number of Republicans that are willing to turn against their president. How many Democrats will stand up for Donald Trump? I don't know. But here's the ones you got to watch who are looking to betray Donald Trump and stab him in the back. Lamar Alexander of Tennessee. Roy Blunt of Missouri. Richard Burr of North Carolina. Susan Collins of, where is she? Maine? Yeah. Mike Crapo, Idaho. Joni Ernst, Indiana. Cory Gardner, Colorado. Charles Grassley, Iowa. Lisa Murkowski, Alaska. Rob Portman, Ohio. Mitt Romney, Utah. Marco Rubio, Florida. Ben Sass. What's N-E? Nebraska? Anyway, Ben Sass, shame on you. Donald Trump endorsed you. We'll get into that next hour. John Thune, South Dakota. Patrick Toomey, Pennsylvania. Those are the people. And I don't know really what to think about this, except what a shame that is. Now, you say, Sam, it's not a shame if these people believe the president has done something wrong. They have every right to do this. You're right. They have every right to do it. But why do I say these Republicans are stabbing the president in the back on impeachment? Well, think about it this way. Enough is enough, ladies and gentlemen. It only takes 20 Republican senators to side with the Democrats and the Democrat minority to convict and remove President Donald J. Trump from office. Once Nancy Pelosi's House of Representatives vote in favor of impeachment, then we have a problem, right? By our count, it's being reported that there are at least 15 Republican senators who actually say that they'll vote to convict President Trump. And the number is starting to grow by the day is the problem. To make matters worse, many of the remaining 38 Republican senators, they're straddling the fence. They're waiting to see as this witch hunt continues, whether you'll let them get away with stabbing the Donald in the back. Anyway, I can tell you, folks, that this is serious. And I say it's stabbing President Trump in the back for one reason, and one reason only. They know full well that they're not really going to impeach the president. Now, maybe they will. Maybe they'll change their mind. Maybe they'll get in these back rooms and find some dirt on the Donald. If they look hard enough, they will. Right? I mean, our buddy Rick Korber in Utah, well known as the free capitalist talk show host and a real estate developer and everything else, they have over 7 grand juries before they convicted him. How many grand juries and how many venues have they tried to catch Ammon Bundy in? In Oregon, in Nevada. It came up, A, not guilty for Ammon Bundy. But again, Ammon Bundy was in jail for 2 years and literally convicted of nothing. This is what I'm talking about. The system is corrupt as all get out. So I believe the system is a fraud. And I believe that the way they're going about it is a lie because they're not, you know, crafting articles of impeachment. They don't have enough goods on the Donald. What they're doing is they're behind the scenes, behind closed door meetings, looking at ways to compel people to, well, get trapped into a dishonest narrative that they can eventually use to pin the tail on the donkey when it comes to impeaching President Trump. And I'm not here to defend President Trump. I am here to say that that's not the way the founders intended impeachment proceedings to happen. Impeachment proceedings were supposed to be, you know what, if you have articles of impeachment, if you have just cause, and there can be a little bit of research to get that done. Okay, I'm not saying that there can't be some investigative event before that. The problem is when CNN's pushing the impeachment narrative, blatantly so from the absolute top down, and we have evidence of that, and when Nancy Pelosi's saying we're not impeaching, and when they have all these different committees that are there to just, what, subpoena people and talk to them and just discover, okay, you've got this broad brush of let's see what we can gather. Not this laser-like focus on, hey, this criminal activity we believe to be committed, let's confirm it's, you know, that it's been committed and draw that up in a letter and an article of impeachment. Because that's not being done. And Nancy knows they're not going to impeach. Well, whether they do or not, whether they change their mind or not, I don't know whether they'll move forward. I talked to Joel Skousen yesterday on this, and it was a 50-50 chance. Well, maybe Joel wasn't yesterday, a couple days ago. You know, there's a chance, 50-50, that he'll be impeached. But I don't know if they'll move forward, but right now they're not serious about it. But what they're doing is dishonestly manipulating the system. And that's why I say they're, you know, Republicans are planning to stab the president in the back. It's one thing to come back and say, listen, the evidence we have supports this, therefore we must be aboard. That's a big difference, as far as I can see, from what's being done. What's being done is they're just making allegations that they're not comfortable with the Donald, but they've never been comfortable with the Donald from the start. They've been talking about impeachment from the beginning. And these articles of impeachment they may be drawing up or the focus of impeachment items aren't even on what they were calling impeachment reasons before. See, that's my problem with it, right? I don't see at all that the reasons for impeachment are the same as they were when they started the call. But the the crescendo continues to grow. By the way, while that's going on, China arrests two Americans, Alyssa Peterson and Jacob Harlan, on charges of organizing, quote, illegal border crossings. A Chinese government spokesman said the families say they're absolute bogus charges. So these guys are in China because they have a teaching English company, and so they're over in China teaching English. Well, now the Chinese are saying, well, they're helping with border crossings, and you know they've done illegal activity, therefore they're behind bars. But you know what I say? How come crossing the border is no big deal here in America, but in China it's a big deal? How come President Trump's not doing something to try to free these political prisoners, huh? Our prayers are with them. Rand Paul speaking out. He wants the U.S. to stop all arms sales to Turkey over the country's offensive in northern Syria. No arms of any kind for the time being is what Senator Rand Paul is encouraging. We talked about blue-collar workers enjoy highest wage growth in Donald Trump economy. That's interesting. Patrick J. Buchanan wrote an incredible column that says this: what if the media did their job on Biden questions? And I think that's a critical question. I think Pat Buchanan's spot on that. They're not treating the Obama situation, and this is kind of why I, again, attacked him over the impeachment issue. Joe Biden literally is caught bragging and saying that he had a quid pro quo. There is no quid pro quo for President Trump. But somehow they want you to believe that Donald Trump colluded and had a quid pro quo and no big deal on Joe Biden. Well, that's the dishonest narrative. What if we asked Joe Biden the exact same questions and dealt with Joe Biden's potential scandal as the same as President Trump's? They're both in high-level positions in the government. Okay? Whose situation has more pay dirt behind it? The conservatives would say, oh, Joe Biden's the criminal. The liberals would say, oh, no, Donald Trump is the criminal. But see, I don't think we ought to have this court of public opinion just without facts, just go after one another. People are innocent until proven guilty. Donald and Joe, both of them, folks. I'm not picking sides here. But are they treating the Joe scandal as offensive or as they are the Donald Trump situation? Let's just double down and get the facts on both cases, if there really is justification. And let's deliver those facts the way the founders intended, which is via articles of impeachment. And then the House would have an up and down vote, not by committee, not by special group that can keep it alive, but by full vote. And if warranted, let's pass it to the Senate on both Joe and Donald. Not because I believe Donald's guilty, but I'm just saying if there is pay dirt there, I want to see it. I don't want to cover up for the Donald and attack Joe because I'm supposedly more conservative than liberal, or attack, you know, Donald, but let Joe go because I'm more liberal than conservative. I want accountability for both. And if there are literally allegations that rise to the level of probable cause, then let's dig into it, file articles of impeachment, and let's let the checks and balances of the greatest country on the face of the earth work, shall we? By the way, did you know that in Manhattan, Kansas, they created a new law that allows women to go topless? They say with restrictions, property owners and businesses would still be allowed to say, hey, no shoes, no shirt, no service. So what a sad day in the culture war. Immorality just seems to be popping up everywhere in the Republic, and I pray we can stem the tide and we can stand for God, family, and country. All right, hour one of the can, hour two coming up. A lot of hard-hitting news straight ahead. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Donate today at libertyroundtable.com. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.